KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, always glad to have you along with us daily at 1 o'clock. What a full show we have. Later in the show, Sonia Montoya joins us from Calvary Southwest, along with Larissa Lusco. They have put together a brunch specifically designed to bless widows in our community. We'll let you know more about that. And Lenya Heitzig will pop in, let us know about the Sheology event coming up this spring that, ladies, you are invited to. So we'll get to all of that coming up a little bit later in the hour. Before we introduce you to our first guest, or reintroduce you, I should say, excuse me, I do want to let you know about a blood drive coming up on Good Friday. Now, we've done this every year for years at Calvary Church in the parking lot. Vitalant will be out there with three of their mobile units, and the goal is 80 donors of blood. Now, if you're here for, if you've ever been on campus at Calvary Church for Good Friday, you know that that is a packed house. And 80, that's just a drop in the bucket, not to, you know, to, you know, use, is that okay? But we just want to get 80 people to come and give blood. And we're encouraging you to go to our website, klyt.fm. In the Action Center, just click on the Vitalant banner, and you'll be right there for the blood drive for Good Friday, where you can sign up. And this is a thought, okay? As Christians, really, we do know there's life in the blood, right? And we're going to be celebrating what Christ did for us, sacrificing his blood on the cross, and then going on to conquer death so that we can live. So it's a great way for us as a Christian community to share with our community here in New Mexico the love of Christ. So 80 donors needed. Please sign up today. Signing up early makes the whole process a little quicker, a little easier. And again, you can register in the Action Center at klyt.fm. I'll say this, Jim Williams and Steve Ryman are signed up, and we would love to have you join us in that. In studio with me from Beds for Kids, Steve Stucker. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Hey, good to see you, Steve. Happy to be here.
We are excited to hear about what's happening. You know, off the air, we were looking at the website, and, you know, it says 22,000, and that's truth, because there has been 22,000 families impacted by Beds for Kids, but the number you say is getting closer to 23.
You know, and I shake my head and just laugh and giggle and praise the Lord, because this was never my idea, Steve. It wasn't like some grand plan I had. It kind of fell in my lap, I thought, accidentally at the time. But
I love the story. Tell it again.
Well, you know, it's one of my favorites, and I get a little emotional every time because there's so many factors involved. But I got a private message on Facebook from a lady saying, my niece is 12, has spina bifida so severely, she can't get up and down into a regular bed. She's been sleeping on the couch for 2 years, and it's literally killing her. Can you get her a hospital bed?
Yeah.
Well, I'm reading this, and I'm like, a hospital bed?
Why are you asking me?
Who do you think I am? And I got up and I walked away in the middle of the message, frustrated that some total stranger would ask me something so weird.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how long later it was, an hour or two, maybe longer. And it's almost like, well, you could ask, you know, that ask and you shall receive thing. And I went online and said, I know this sounds different, but I've become aware of this little girl who needs a hospital bed. Does anybody know where I might find one? And Steve, within 20 minutes,
yeah,
I not only had a bed, but it was the beginning of what I call God connecting the dots.
Right.
As he's done thousands of times. The lady who had the bed was on the board of directors for my little nonprofit. Mm. She was the secretary of the board. Her father had been hit by a drunk driver, spent his final years in that bed. He'd been gone several years, but her mom held on to it for sentimental reasons until she saw this little girl needed it.
The need.
And then it was ours.
Yeah.
So I go back to find the message, all excited that I've got this bed, and I read the rest. We live in Shiprock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never been to Shiprock. And I know it's, you know, clear across the state. And then it hit me. I have no idea how to transport or take a part of.
Go back to that source you used the first time.
And I did right away that time. And a very wonderful gentleman who was a medical equipment salesman hopped in. He said, I'd be glad to help. Me and my buddy will not only show you how to do it, we'll take it up there for you. And they did. And they sent pictures of a lady I now know and love 12 years later. Her name is Dakota Sinney, Navajo girl who lives in the Navajo Nation up there. And she was thumbs up on her bed and the grin just broke my heart.
Yeah.
And it was so sweet. So I went online, posted her picture, and I thanked everybody. Just like, this is so cool and so unexpected, and went to bed thinking, well, what a great story. The next morning, I probably had 8 to 10 messages. Well, I need a bed. I heard you're giving people beds. Can you give me a bed? And I was overwhelmed. So at first, I started trying to match individuals up. Very awkward, very, I didn't know the difference between a twin and a California king at the time.
Yeah.
And I started, you know, matching people up, and then eventually had them bringing the beds over to our place. And the next thing I knew, our three-car garage was filled with other people's beds, and my wife was not a happy camper.
Well, I have a great way for you to look back. First of all, a couple things. You know, from Chuck Smith, a founder of Calvary Chapel.
Sure.
You know, we heard Skip has shared it as well, where God guides, God provides.
I heard Skip say that, and Chuck many times.
The other one that someone told me, if it's God's bill, or if it's God's will, it's God's bill.
Well, you know, and I've seen that happen so many times, Steve, over the years. We have somehow provided the money for this, what it costs for, you know, insurance and our truck and our storage facility and everything that's involved. And he continues to provide over and above simply by us talking about it in the public like we're doing today. We've been able to purchase $80,000 to $90,000 worth of new beds every year for the past 4 or 5 years, on top of the hundreds of thousands of dollars we give away in gently used beds.
Well, you know, we talk a lot on this show about, you know, education or homelessness or other issues, you know, things that we all know as New Mexicans, we're at the bottom of the list. I saw one just in the last couple of years. And, you know, this is a state that has a lot of poverty. I don't need to tell you that. But you know what? The generosity of this state, that's not the top, but it lands like right in the middle. And the people of New Mexico are a generous people.
Oh, they've been so good to us. And yeah, we have tremendous generational poverty, and not just financial, but spiritual.
Yeah, this is true.
And a lot of times they go together. But I find that even people who are struggling financially are very, very generous. I know my parents were. I grew up in a very, very low-income household, but my parents gave and gave and gave. And so we've just been blessed, and people provide, they volunteer, they give us the beds, they give us the finances we need. And that's one of the things we wanted to talk about today, is a particular need that we have beds for kids right now.
The ministry has grown.
Oh, yeah.
And that actually is part of the reason you've run into a place where you're going to talk about what you're going to talk about. Before we get to that, maybe explain a little bit. You know, it started with beds, but there's so much more.
Well, you know, we still really do focus on beds. We don't do household furniture. Yeah. We'll do dressers and chest of drawers.
Yeah.
But along with the
linen,
the bed, we do linens, blankets, sheets, comforters, pillows, pillowcases, everything like that. And we've even had several groups that are knitters or crocheters or quilters that bring us custom-made blankets and things like that. And then we have expanded, because it's such a natural tie-in. We have connected with another ministry which requests to remain anonymous, but they send us free children's Christian books.
Oh.
So every child gets to pick 2, 3, 4 books to promote early childhood reading, and we call it Bedtime Stories. And it's a going operation. We strive to place 125, 150, sometimes 200 people every single month.
Wow. Well, now that brings us to really, what you and I talked about. There is a need for this expanding ministry. And when you have an expanding ministry that has expanding content, physical content, you need expanding storage space.
Yeah. So we're in a spot where we are looking for a permanent warehousing facility where we can collect the beds, inspect the beds, and send the beds out to the families that need them. And we have narrowed this down. We've been working at this for quite a long time, and we really feel we have an effective system. You know, we do a big give once a month. We give away beds every single week, but once a month we do our big organized thing, and we'll get 35, 40 volunteers. We schedule families by appointment only, and we can place 60 to 125 people in beds in about 2 hours. And you should see it. I laughingly call it controlled chaos.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun and it's so sweet. We pray with all the families before we go. The kids get in their books. And you should see these little 8 and 9 year old boys jumping up and down on the dock because they're going to get their very first bed of their own. So what we need is a new storage facility. And I say warehouse, but it doesn't have to be a warehouse. It doesn't need to have a standard dock. We need at least 4,000 square feet. We can squeeze into that. We're very efficient. We're very clean. We're good renters. And we need an overhead door that allows our box truck to get inside. So it's like 10, 12 feet high. I think it's 10 foot 9 inches, something like that. But any place that has that would be willing to not just to rent to us, but to do it at below market value or to donate it. We are a 501c3. And I tell you what, after 12 years, I'm still a volunteer. So is my wife. So are all the board members. We do have 4 part-time employees to manage this big operation. But we're not only volunteers, but we contribute financially every month. And so if anybody has anything, it could be an old CVS or maybe a car dealership that's not being used or hasn't been for a long time. Maybe it's a warehouse space. But again, it doesn't have to have a dock. We'll make do with what we have. Just basically, we need bathroom facility. We do not need office space. We are only operating about 3 days per week. Typically, we just work on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because finances are an issue. And then that once a month on Saturday that I talked about. Location-wise, we would prefer something in the southern two-thirds of the city, roughly Comanche South, if possible.
And add this to someone who's listening and thinking about, don't count yourself out because of some of this. This is preferable. Make sure you contact the ministry before deciding you're not going to.
Yeah, as grandma, you say, beggars can't be choosers. And here I am asking for something.
No. You know what? You don't ask. We don't know.
You just said God will provide. I firmly believe he's guiding this ministry, and he's been so good to us. So, you know, you can reach through our website. You can find my email.
Let me make it easy for people to get there.
You.
Okay. The website is Beds for Kids. Use the digit for the number 4. Don't spell it out. It's Beds for Kids. The kids is with a Z. The easy way to remember is the Z on the beds or the kids. The Z's at the end of the office, at the end of the URL as well. Okay. Beds for Kids. .org and then go to contact, and there's a place there to email the ministry. We encourage you to do that. If you didn't write down any of that, you forgot it, listen, go to klyt.fm, go to organizations, you'll find Beds for Kids listed in alphabetical order there. Click and it'll take you to the ministry's website. But it is a need. And, you know, before we go to our next segment, Steve, you mind if I pray over this?
I was just going to say, even if you don't have a warehouse, pray for us.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for this.
Thank you.
For this ask. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the spirit that I imagine he worked greatly in this at the genesis of the ministry.
Yes, sir.
And we continue to see the spirit work in the lives of believers and unbelievers and people in need through Beds for Kids. And Lord, there's someone maybe listening today who's already thought, you know, I have that space. I pray, Lord, that they would take time to go to you in prayer and consider what they may be able to do for this ministry. But regardless, Lord, we know that you're in control. We thank you for blessing this ministry, and Lord, for blessing nearly 23,000 families in New Mexico, and we can pray that we can continue to see that work being done.
Lord.
We thank you for the time here and look forward to hearing more about Steve's ministry when we get into our next segment. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Steve, can you stick around?
Love to.
I just kind of volunteered you. We're going to take a break and come back with more after this on ABQ Connect. All right. Hey, want to remind you that the folks at Sagebrush Church Uptown, and that's over, it's kind of off of San Pedro, but it's actually on Arizona. Arizona's one block east of San Pedro. Arizona, south of Constitution in Albuquerque, Sagebrush Church Uptown. This Thursday at 6:30 in the evening, the youth are invited out, mid-high and high school age, 6th grade through 12th graders. There's going to be, it's called One Night March Madness, free stadium food, games, basketball and volleyball tournaments, giveaways, prizes. That again at Sagebrush Church Uptown in Albuquerque this Thursday night at 6:30. We're continuing our conversation with Steve Stucker. And in our first segment, if you missed it, information about the ministry Beds for Kids. You can find out more about the ministry at Beds, the number 4, KIDZ. Kids.org, bedsforkids.org, in need of a storage facility, about 4,000 or plus square feet in is the need. And as Steve mentioned, that doesn't need to necessarily have a dock. If you think you might have a place to assist them with, whether it's, you know, an affordable rent or you want to donate the space, go to the website, bedsforkids.org, and click on contact. You'll find a place to email the ministry there. But I wanted to talk, you know, we talk often on this show about your ministry with Beds for Kids. There's so much more that you do. And you have things that you want to let our audience know. So I'm just going to throw it to you in way of letting them know more about the ministry you've been doing and what God willing, your plan is here in the near future.
Yeah. You know, when I left TV, I tell people I didn't retire. I wanted to do something important with my life. And a man that you know very well, Chip Lusko, came to me about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And he said, Steve, I've heard you teach and you need to be out preaching on a regular basis. And I said, Chip, thank you. I really appreciate that, especially coming from him, such a great man of God. I said, but I don't have any desire to be a senior pastor. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, I think there's a great need to travel the state, to be a guest speaker, to fill in as a preacher, as a Bible teacher at churches, to do seminars, to do revivals and things of that sort. Well, I started praying about it. I promised the Lord I was going to do it. It took me about a year. I had to finish up my contract at Channel 4. But that's what I've been doing since then, is traveling the state. And I've lost track, but I think I've taught about 90 times in 3 years.
Have you been anywhere you hadn't been before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I got to do a thing called Ranchman's Camp in Nogal. And on National Forest land, I taught 7 sermons in 4 days outdoors in the National Forest with about 700 people. And it was
in God's amphitheater.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. And, you know, sometimes I drive 3-4 hours and I'm at a church of 50, 60 people.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 4,000 people in the audience. You never know, and I don't care.
Hudson Taylor went to China. I don't know if you know the story, but I think, you know, I mean, he, over years and years, you're like one convert. But then eventually the ministry, you know.
Boom, it took off
and
changed lives of millions. So here I am. And while I've been doing this, I've been on staff at New Covenant Church, which is where I went almost 15 years ago as an associate pastor. And I teach over there 2-3 times a year, but I'm behind the scenes. And I have just announced that I'm stepping away from that role to do Up Before the Sun Ministries with everything that I have. I'm going to continue at Beds for Kids. And Up Before the Son, spelled S-O-N, is the, you know, the parent ministry of Beds for Kids. We are registered with the IRS in the state of New Mexico as a 501c3. But what I am doing, my heart is to visit any church that invites me. And it's been sweet. I've been invited to Baptist churches, to Lutheran churches, to non-denominational churches. If you're a Christian church or a Christian ministry, I would love to come. And I've also been very blessed to be able to preach and to share the gospel in a number of prisons. Just did that recently. I was invited to speak for the second time at a church called Catalyst in Artesia. And once I had that set up for Sunday morning, I called Roswell and set up two teaching opportunities at the New Mexico Youth Challenge Academy, which is a fancy word for a program where kids are in lockup.
Yeah.
And then that evening, I went over to the state prison, the Roswell Correctional Center, and preached the gospel there, then drove to Artesia and got up in the morning and was able to share a message there and then drove home. So what I want people to understand is that my goal is to not just to draw people into the church. I look at myself as an evangelist, but I really want to take the church that's here now and encourage it. It's a discouraging time to be alive, and many of you have wonderful pastors. If you're in a small community, odds are your pastor hasn't had a Sunday off in years. And yeah, that can be really, really difficult if you're at a mid-sized church, or if you're at a church where you've got plenty of fill-in, but you're looking for something that's new and different. And I really have a deep heart to do this, a deep desire. I've had many, many blessings being able to teach at tent revivals on the Navajo Nation. I love doing that. I've got a revival planned that I'm going to do in Farmington at the end of April, and I'll be doing outdoors on a Friday and Saturday night at Berg Park, and then Sunday morning I'm booked to teach at the largest church there in Farmington Hills Church with Pastor Matt Mizell. So, you know, whether it's in Albuquerque, I've been to, oh my gosh, Santa Fe, Blaze Fellowship up there, wonderful, wonderful church. The beautiful Espanola Valley, Las Vegas, and Ruidoso.
Yeah.
And Grants, several times.
I will tell you, I used to travel the state in the 90s as a salesperson, and I loved that I got to, we live in a beautiful, I mean, you want to see God's hand.
Oh,
travel the state of New Mexico.
Every mile. And, you know, I kind of laugh at myself, especially at the Ranchman's Camp. That was started by itinerant pastors who literally traveled by horse and buggy back over the old days. And I'm kind of the modern day version of that. Me and my little car heading out to any place that's silly enough to invite me to stand up and teach the gospel.
Well, you've made this website real easy to remember. It's stevestucker.com. That is the place you go. And when you go there, you'll see Up Before the S-O-N, Son, Ministries with Steve Stucker. And there's a hyperlink, a place to click to book Steve for your church or ministry. And Steve, as we wind down, I want to throw, because you mentioned, you know, being able to fill the pulpit for a pastor who maybe hasn't had a break in a while. And that's not all that the pastors deal with that people aren't aware of. So the audience, you know, we've done this several times when it, just in the last couple of weeks, I know we've said it on the air, how important it is to pray with specificity for our pastors, and maybe some of the things we can do for them as a congregation to make life a little bit easier. The stats on things that happen in pastors, they are on the front line, and the enemy got a crosshair on them.
It's a dreadful kind of a situation. And if you, as a believer, as a church member, feel discouraged sometimes, you can multiply that times 1,000 and start to get an idea of what most pastors will feel like. So part of my message is always encouraging the church to lift up your pastor, to hold him accountable, but to support them and not to complain about silly, foolish things.
Right.
To follow the scriptures, you know, to love one another.
I think of Jesse telling Moses, Moses, you got to get some people to help out. And part of, you know, Moses' story we read in the Bible, the people that came and held his arms up for him when he became unable to.
Well, and the other thing is that pastors are shy, cautious about inviting someone they don't know personally to step into the pulpit. And they need to be. They should be. So what I really want to be able to present is for the pastor to understand that they're going to hear a gospel message, that it's not going to be anything that's weird or progressive or that veers from the truth of Scripture, so that we can be in doing this. So I always joke that it's hard to get an invitation to teach at a church. I've been very blessed to get so many. But the real test is if you get invited back. I've had great, great experience.
If it makes you feel any better, I've never been invited. So. But hey, 30 seconds, Steve. Anything else? I don't want you to leave and go, oh, I meant to.
Well, you know, it's just that I have prayed so deeply for so many years, Lord, send me. And if that ties in you're doing at your church, I'd love to hear from you just to talk about it, to see if the dates match up. And it would be such a blessing. And if we never connect that way, I hope we meet some other way before we meet in glory.
Amen.
After this life.
All right. Well, appreciate your time. And obviously, it's always an open door. Reach out anytime. We'd love to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Hey, don't go away. Lenny Heights is coming up later. Oh, ladies, Sheology has an event for the spring you want to be a part of. And after the break, we'll hear from the ladies at Calvary Southwest and what they're preparing, a special event to bless the widows in our community. We'll get to that when we come back on ABQ Connect.